Like Wendy just said, I'm here to present the results of the Illinois Wise Woman Program, which was an integrated nutrition, physical activity intervention to reduce cardiovascular risk factors. The collaborators on this project were me and a team of evaluators from the National Center for Excellence in Women's Health and the Center for Research on Women and Gender at UIC, Rachel Huber and Ruth Ann Carpenter from the Cooper Institute in Dallas, Texas, Pamela Baumer, who's the chief of the Office of Women's Health at the Illinois Department of Public Health, and those are her staff, the rest of them. I have no relationships to disclose. Okay, so the Wise Woman Program is the well-integrated screening and evaluation for women across the nation. It's a CDC-funded program that was initiated in 1995, and the primary aim was to provide low-income, under- and uninsured women, 40 to 64, with knowledge, skills, and opportunities to improve their diet, physical activity, and other lifestyle behaviors so that we can prevent, delay, and control cardiovascular diseases and other chronic diseases, but mostly cardiovascular. They funded what they called six enhanced interventions and 11 minimum interventions. The enhanced interventions required an experimental design, and the purpose was to identify effective lifestyle interventions, whereas the minimum interventions, the purpose was to look at process and figure out the operational aspects of programs that can help us effectively implement them. So some background about heart disease. It's the number one cause of death in the US from the 2007 Vital Statistics reports. One in three women have some form of cardiovascular disease. It's the primary cause of death in Illinois, and it's responsible for about a quarter of all the deaths. The other risk factors that specifically Illinois women have, 26% of them over the age of 18 have blood pressure. 29% over the age of 20 are overweight, 20% are obese. 70% report doing sedentary activity, and 75% report eating less than 5 servings of fruits and vegetables, which apparently got cut from the slide. Looking at health insurance, 13% of all women over the age of 18 are uninsured in Illinois, and 24.5%, so almost a quarter of all minority women are uninsured. Of those 25%, we have 25% who are African-American, 41% who are Hispanic, and 40% of all women who are in the low socioeconomic status, that is less than $15,000 annual income, are uninsured. So a combination of the risk factors, the lack of insurance, highlights the need of prevention screening for cardiovascular disease for women in Illinois. So like I said earlier, it was a collaborative project between CDC, who is the funding agency, IDPH, the Cooper Institute, and the UIC National Center for Excellence in Women Health and Center for Research on Women and Gender. So the primary goal of our program was to test the overall effectiveness of the integrated nutrition, physical activity, lifestyle change intervention on reducing cardiovascular risk factors. What we did is set up three categories of objectives in order to reach this goal. We had the dietary objectives, we had the physical activity objectives, and then we had the cardiovascular risk profile objectives. So the purpose was that we hypothesized that we would see a greater improvement in the dietary practices, increased physical activity, and improved cardiovascular risk profile for women who were in the enhanced intervention group, which is quote-unquote the experimental group, versus women who were in the minimum intervention group, which was the control group. So a little bit about the program then. So the Wise Woman program in Illinois implemented the program through 5 Illinois breast and cervical cancer prevention sites. These women, participants from this program, who were 40 to 64 years old, were recruited. They went through a baseline screening, and then they were randomized into the two groups. The minimum intervention group got the cardiovascular risk factor screening, and in a bit I'll tell you what that involved. They got educational materials, which is a standard packet of information about diet, physical activity, and the clinical measures, and follow-up contacts for 24 months. So they got a post-intervention screening, one at 1 year and one at 2 years, and all these screenings had the clinical and behavioral measures. So the enhanced group, in addition to all of this, got the 12-session lifestyle intervention called Women with a Heart. So what was the data we looked at? We had demographic data, age, race, ethnicity, language, reading level assessment, and specifically the Spanish population got an acculturation measure. We had clinical measures of blood pressure, total cholesterol, LDL, blood glucose, and BMI, which was computed. We had two nutrition instruments that we used. The fat and fiber questionnaire, which is an adapted questionnaire from the eating patterns questionnaire, has five fat subscales, two fiber subscales, and summary scales for each of those. And then the NCI all-day fruit and vegetable screener, which gave us number of servings of fruits, vegetables, and a combined measure for the, both of them. And then we did a physical activity assessment using the Community Health Activities Model Program for Seniors, or CHAMPS, which is a widely validated tool for community assessment of physical activity. And it gives us hours of physical activity per week for all activity and moderate intensity activity. The curriculum. I want to talk a little bit about the curriculum because it took us over a year and a half to come up with the curriculum. It's a 12-session curriculum that was primarily developed by the Cooper Institute, who has an expertise in developing physical activity nutrition interventions. And it was adapted from their randomized clinical trials of Project Active and another one called the Lifestyle Nutrition Study. What we did do, though, is modify those curriculums to add more nutrition information because the original ones didn't have much, and to make it more interactive and to make it we reduced the reading level to fourth grade reading level, culturally adapted it for the Latina population. The curriculum is based on the social cognitive theory and the trans-theoretical model, and puts in concepts, the constructs of self-efficacy and self-regulation. All the sessions have a similar format. They start with an introduction. There is, it's very much group discussion, team activities, and games. The whole curriculum was translated into Spanish by a licensed translator, back translated by another translator, culturally adapted by a third person whose expertise was cultural competence, and then both curriculums were, we made sure they were the same in English and Spanish. Okay, so the data got entered by trained facilitators into the Illinois State Cornerstone System, which was an education in itself. State systems. We electronically got data to UIC and we used SPSS for analysis. So we did basically t-test chi-squares and ANOVAs. At least we did a lot more analysis, but that's what I'm talking about here today. We looked for differences at the three time points, and this presentation is only presenting data up to 1 year because we're still getting the two-year follow-up data from some of the sites. We compared the enhanced intervention and minimum intervention groups. Then we are looking at attrition, which was a big issue in the program. And then we did ANOVAs to look at the effect of the intervention on each of these outcome variables. All right, I'm sorry, but there's no way I could make these slides any bigger. Basically, if you look at the last three columns, that is totals for enhanced intervention, minimum intervention, irrespective of language. And we found no differences for any of the demographic variables, which showed our randomization worked, which we were thrilled about. But when you compare the English and the Spanish groups, the Spanish women were about a year and a half younger than the English women, and the levels of education were a little different. The women in the English group tended to have ninth grade or above education levels, whereas the women in the Spanish group had less than eighth grade education. So those were the primary differences based on demographics. Attrition. The story is all here. So if you look at the attrition rates for the total group, you see that we have a significant higher rate of attrition in the enhanced intervention group, 35% at post-intervention, 52% at 1 year. And I will go into a discussion about why in a little bit. When you look at the Spanish population, they have a higher attrition rate than the English population, but there was no difference between the enhanced intervention and the minimum intervention groups. However, when you look at the English-speaking population, you see there's a significant difference between the attrition in the enhanced intervention and the minimum intervention. So we had a higher attrition rate in the enhanced intervention group. This chart shows mean values of the dietary physical activity and clinical outcomes at each time point comparing enhanced intervention to minimum intervention. We found no differences at baseline, post-intervention, or 1 year for the outcomes from the fruit and vegetable screener. We found significantly different scores between enhanced and minimum intervention for the dietary fat summary scale and the dietary fiber summary scale, both at post-intervention and 1 year. The curious thing about this finding, though, was the fat and fiber questionnaire measures on a scale of 1 to 4, 1 being the most healthy behaviors. So actually, our enhanced intervention group showed worse behaviors as related to dietary fat and fiber, both at post-intervention and at the 1 year follow-up. But these are the summary scales. Then physical activity, we showed a significantly higher level of physical activity in the enhanced intervention group and moderate intensity at post-intervention. However, they were not able to maintain it at 1 year, which is not, looking at the clinical measures, there was no statistically significant difference, but if you look at the mean values, there was a clinically significant difference in the levels of blood cholesterol. They reduced from 212 to 200. There was a reduction in blood glucose. So there was a reduction, and we didn't anticipate seeing very significant value, especially at post-intervention 1 year, because it takes a while for clinical levels to go down unless they're on medications. These are the ANOVA models. We ran models using the outcome measures of dependent variables, and the independent variables were age, education, language of intervention, group, and an interaction term of language by group. So if you look at this, we found a significant model for the total number of servings of fruits and vegetables. So when we did a combined measure, there was almost a half a serving increase in the consumption of fruits and vegetables at post-intervention. Again, it didn't maintain up to 1 year. This is comparing baseline to post-intervention. The same trend that I talked about when we compared mean values shows up in the fat and fiber questionnaire, both at post-intervention and at 1 year. So there is an increase in unhealthy behaviors related to fat and unhealthy behaviors related to fiber, which really stumped us. And then when you look at physical activity, we have a significant increase in physical activity levels at post-intervention. However, they didn't maintain at 1 year. And the moderate intensity was also significant at post-intervention. When we look at clinical measures, okay, I'm getting trigger happy here. When we look at clinical measures, again, none of the models were significant. However, you see the reductions. There was a 15-point reduction in blood cholesterol from baseline to post-intervention, and a 17-point reduction at 1 year, which is clinically a very significant drop in cholesterol levels. Okay, so like I said, the randomization was successful. Let me discuss a little bit about the dietary outcomes. So we have two different hypotheses about why we show more unhealthy behaviors in fat and fiber. One is we have just begun looking at analysis with the subscale scores for the fat and fiber summary scales, and we find that there are some subscales that showed a significant improvement and some that showed a significant reduction in healthy behaviors. So I think what's happening is that's balancing off when we look at the summary scales. So future work, we will parse out those subscales more and show it. And there's similarly, when we split up the fruit and vegetables and look at it by language, we find that participants were more likely to increase consumptions of fruits rather than vegetables. One of the things the Wise Woman Program did is we did a pilot in the first year where after we developed the curriculum, to test both process as well as the curriculum. And we found in the pilot that there were issues with women not knowing how to use vegetables, how to cook vegetables. There were issues about availability of produce. which we tried to address in the curriculum, but apparently it wasn't adequate. Physical activity outcomes, again, significant improvement. So while they were in the intervention, they were getting peer group support from other members in the group. They were getting a lot of weekly support, and so they were being able to maintain the physical activity. The other thing is that this intervention was in Illinois, where weather is a huge issue. We had 6 cycles that were run at different times of the year. We had several really bad winters during this implementation, which prevented people from going out and engaging in physical activity. Again, clinical outcomes, like I said, we didn't see statistically significant differences, but they were clinically significant. Across the board, we found slight increases in the minimum intervention group, and we think that's partly because of increased awareness because of the screenings that they had, the handouts that were handed out, and then we recruited from the same population. They were all IBCCP participants. They were likely to have access to the materials. So, and then to talk about attrition. Again, in the pilot, we tried to identify a lot of the systemic issues that would prevent participants from coming in, such as childcare, transportation, weather, and we did take care of all these things. There were sites where people literally rented a bus, the facilitators rented a bus and picked up these women for sessions. But, you know, you can only do so much. Again, the enhanced intervention groups showed some improvement to the minimum intervention group, easier access to fruits rather than vegetables, and the physical activity issues. So the future work, like I said, we are focusing on looking at some of the systemic issues to see if there are other things that we missed while we were doing our pilot. The Illinois Wise Women Program got funded for another cycle of 5 years that it was started this year. And we're working on trying to reduce the number of sessions so that the burden on the women to come in is less. The challenge with any lifestyle intervention is to be able to give the amount of skill and information that's required to make behavior change, but to try to keep it within a level of burden so that they will actually attend the sessions. And then we are working on looking at the 2-year follow-up maintenance of intervention data. And we're doing a separate analysis by language to identify cultural issues related to this. Subscale analysis is being done for each of the scales, and I said maintenance of intervention before. I can take any questions if you still have time.
We have a couple of minutes for questions. Are there any?
No, and we didn't really measure self-efficacy as much as the curriculum was built around self-efficacy, so we encouraged small changes, setting short-term goals, being accountable for those goals. So every session they had, the participants talked to each other and said, oh, this is what I promised I would do for myself by next week, and this is what I did. So it was built into the curriculum, and we didn't really measure self-efficacy. The locations for the sessions were in the community.
They had transportation funds to get to their own community.
I think the transportation problems were not because we didn't provide transportation, it was because of weather. A lot of it was weather. In the cities, we found that it was easier for people to get to the location. In the rural areas, it was impossible to find a location that was close to everybody because people have to drive miles. And in the rural areas, if there's a bad snowstorm, it pretty much, people just don't want to come out. Even if you send them a car, they don't want to come out. So it's kind of a conundrum, and I don't know where you strike a balance between the two.
I'm just interested because I hear this all the time.
Yeah.
I think actually that comment is so good, and it's really at the crux of all sorts of interventions we do with people is that we always are looking at these group-based interventions that really are a tremendous burden. And I try to think about what can we do that's different? I mean, is there another delivery mode that isn't, you know, and maybe someday there'll be like web-based delivery that's accessible to all people that would make this a little bit easier. But I think your question is the crux of the difficulty.
Well, I think that she started out talking about the breast cancer, cervical cancer screenings and the way they handle that. They put everything in the mobile van and they took it to the community, and that's the way they increased
right.
the amount of women that were participating, because they took a van to that place where they were.
Right.
That's just one unknown.
Yeah, it's always a challenge, and I mean, despite all the pilot work we did, it's hard to.
I'm wondering how different this program is compared to other programs, like, for instance, Weight Watchers, where people actually pay to go. What attracts people to go to those meetings, and instead
I think. For one thing, we were catering to an underserved population who don't have access to those kind of things. And we tried to cater it to them, target it to them, to their level. We adjusted reading levels. We made it more. So a lot of the physical activity resources, for example, we didn't talk about going to the gym. We talked about, you know, parking your car far away from your office so you can walk. Walking to the grocery store and taking a bus, you know, practical things that you could do without spending money, because, you know, at the end of the day, they don't have money to join a gym. So we did try to address those kind of things. I think you had a question.
Yeah, I was just curious about the specific intervention, the curriculum. Can
yeah.
you speak just briefly on what it was that you did in that intervention?
Yes. We had 12 sessions, so each session they had an introductory session where they just talked to each other. It was like an icebreaker. Then using the constructs of self-efficacy and self-regulation, each session addressed either a nutrition topic or a physical activity topic. We didn't do both. So if we did a nutrition topic, say we were talking about fats, then there would be an activity associated to that within the session. So they would either look at food labels, they would talk about how they can reduce fat in their diet, they would come up with menus, they would come up with recipes and reduce fat content of recipes. If it was physical activity, then, you know, say we talk about increasing physical activity, they would do a 5-minute walk and they would time themselves. And the one piece I did not mention is they got serious incentives to come for this program, which really increased the cost of the program. We hoped that it would bring women in. So they had an incentive at every session. And we're talking pedometers, we're talking recipe books, we're talking a George Foreman grill. So this is not, you know, and in spite of that, we had low attrition.
That I was just curious, since you had problems with the fat and fiber, but I know you're going to do this up skip, but then you had lower cholesterol.
Right. So I'm wondering if that's related to the physical activity, because the physical activity significantly increased. I mean, a 4-hour increase per week is not a small increase. So we have to. Yeah, we kind of have to look at those subscale scores parallel to the physical activity and see what's going on. Yeah.
It might be you'll find something different if you do an intent to treat analysis, though, too.
Right. All right. Sorry, I think I ran over. What do I do? Okay, there.
Thank you very much. It was very interesting, and it will be interesting to see in your follow-up. I was curious about the enhanced intervention having a higher attrition rate. Which
is the burden of the session.
Yeah.